the great future priest, White Buffalo.
Shabbat Shalom. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Today I'm going to be talking about the subject of abuse. What is it? So, abuse is bullying. The definition of abuse is to strongly misuse, to mistreat, to use insulting language about or to revile, wrong or excessive use. Verbal abuse is the use of words to cause harm to the person being spoken to. It embodies many forms such as shouting, insulting, threatening, shaming, demeaning, and name-calling. There's many forms of abuse. Some of the forms of abuse are verbal, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. Today we will break down some of the forms of abuse. In this book right here, the Parenting Manual, it defines some of these forms of abuse. And that's where I'm going to be going out of today, is page 13 of the Parenting Manual. It acknowledging mistakes, finding solutions. The first form of abuse it talks about is verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is yelling, scolding, demeaning, insulting, ridiculing, or otherwise attacking a child with words are forms of verbal abuse. Research has found that children who are verbally abused have many of the same problems as victims of physical abuse. Verbally abused children suffer from anger management issues, violent behaviors, depression, and other disorders commonly in physically abused children. So that's verbal abuse. Verbal abuse has a lifelong effect. And when these damaging words are spoken to someone, it can hurt just like this. Alright? So, verbal abuse, these words, when they're spoken to someone, have lifelong effects. It hurts so bad that some people say that it would be better to be slapped, kicked, or punched than to have a degrading remark said to them. Physical abuse is the second one it shows here. It says, childhood physical abuse involves the physical injury or maltreatment of a child, which includes hitting, punching, slapping, kicking, shaking, burning, and other ways of inflicting pain, such as not giving a child food to eat, denying a child medical attention, and giving a child drugs and alcohol. Physical abuse can have short-term and long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects. Short-term effects include physical injury and brain damage. Children may become withdrawn, sad, or experience difficulty sleeping and eating. They may become irritable and aggressive towards their peers or younger siblings, have lack of confidence and self-esteem, and start using alcohol and or illicit substances. The long-term effects include difficulties forming and maintaining healthy relationships and a propensity or a tendency to be victimized or abused in future relationships. So, talking about physical abuse, we should never hit children with a closed fist. Emotional abuse. It says emotional abuse of a child can include ignoring, rejecting, isolating, exploiting or corrupting, verbally assaulting, terrorizing, or neglecting the child. Children who are constantly ignored, shamed, terrorized, or humiliated suffer at least as much, if not more, than if they are physically assaulted. Though the visible signs of emotional abuse in children can be difficult to detect, the hidden scars of this type of abuse manifest in numerous behavioral ways, including insecurity, poor self-esteem, destructive behavior, angry acts such as setting fire and animal cruelty, withdrawal, poor development of basic skills, alcohol or drug abuse, suicide, difficulty forming relationships, and unstable job histories. This is emotional abuse. These are some pictures of emotional abuse. One thing that we have to remember is that, in conclusion, please remember that abuse is bullying. And there's many different forms of abuse. And make sure, one thing that we are being judged on is what we say and how we treat one another. So make sure to choose up your words before you spit some out. And remember that children deserve our love and respect, not abuse. That's a quote from the Parenting Manual, page 13. And with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Tovia Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated. So, if you remember what we talked about last time I spoke, we were talking about the cost of war, okay? And what the countries are spending on the war-related items and just for paying for the military soldiers. This didn't include any equipment, those numbers. I gave you the $135 billion a year. That's for the U.S. soldiers. That's just for them. That's not including the equipment and all of that. That's just transportation, housing, and food. Okay, and then also remember the $43 billion that's spent just here in the United States on just police officers. Okay, that's not including Coast Guard, Border Patrol. That's just on police officers like your Sheriff's Department, Abilene Police Department. Okay, but there's an article here that I wanted to cover with you. And it's talking about is how that even though all the economies are going down, the defense budget is continuing to climb. They continue to spend more money. Okay, and it says, as the world digs out from the economic downturn of 2009, it seems that annual growth in defense spending is back. Total global defense spending has seemed to increase 0.6% from $1.538 billion in 2013 to $1.5038 billion, and in 2013 to $1.5047 billion in 2014, according to the forecast released Thursday in London. Okay, it says the top 20 expenditures shell out a combined $1.3 trillion on defense-related expenditures in 2013. With the United States making up just over 44% of that total, okay? They're spending $582 billion a year on their defense, okay? So you can see how they're saying, well, the money's not here to teach the schools, the money's not here to, help teach people, educate them. But you can see that the money is there. They're just spending it in the wrong places. Now, I'd like to give you some numbers here on some more countries that have some of the world's biggest militaries. China has 2,285,000 active soldiers, okay? And then they have 510,000 in reserve. Total, they have 3,927,000 total military people that are involved in their military, okay? Israel has 176,000 active military members, 565,000 are reserve, and total they have 749,000 people involved in their military, okay? So you can see how they're all smaller than the United States, but the amount of money is what we're trying to focus on here, okay? Russia Federation, 766,000. 2 million on reserve, so they have 3,240,000 people involved in their military. Okay, so you can see how, you know, as Yeshua said, you know, the love of many will grow cold. Talking about how, just with the amount of money and the cost that goes into these things, because, you know, these new ships and things that they're building, the United States is coming out with them almost monthly. You can pick up the news articles. They're coming out with the new airplanes, new ships, new battleships, new cruisers. And these things aren't just, you know, millions of dollars. They're billions. The two newest ships they just built are made to withstand mines and all these different things because they're gearing up for this war. Okay, they're worried about Iran putting mines in the water. So they go and spend, you know, $1.5 billion on building a ship just so they can combat that one issue. Okay, so you can see that they're gearing up for this war. Every country is. There's not a country in the world that is not getting ready for this great nuclear war. Okay, and the Pope's also getting ready for this. As Pastor was talking last time he spoke, you know, that they're all playing these cards and they're playing this chess game. And they're all hoping that they're going to come out on top, and they're hoping their big wallet books are going to get them there. But we all know that, you know, it's not the amount of money you spend on war, okay? Because war has never brought peace. It will never bring peace to anyone. It's only going to bring death and destruction to all life as we would know it if it wasn't for this last day's work and this house of Yahweh and Yahweh having this great plan to protect a certain amount of people out of this. So I just want you to keep this in mind. You know, keep an eye out for these articles. You know, read them and try to look at them and say, and compare them and look at them and really see what they're doing because they are getting ready for it. They wouldn't keep, you know, if there wasn't something going to occur, they wouldn't just keep spending money on it. They know something's going to occur, so they have to keep these things updated. And with the updates, they sell the old equipment to the other countries. And they just keep bringing in more updated models, updated models, updated models, so they can be prepared to take on whatever country they need to at any time. So with this, I want to encourage you to keep up the great work, keep coming to Yahweh's great Sabbath, and with this, I'll turn it over to the great Khan Kohelet.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You all may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I wanted to talk about the great plan of Yahweh. Now, I'm not going to be able to get into great detail about the great plan of Yahweh, but I want to put something in your mind. The end with Yahweh is better than our beginning. Okay, the end with Yahweh is greater than the beginning. And the reason that I'm saying that is because right now we're going through things, but in the end, when Yahweh is done with us, when he's finished, it's going to be so much better than where we're at right now. And so we have something to look forward to. And so I want you to consider what Yeshua said. First, let's consider Yeshua. Where is Yeshua at right now, according to what's written in the scriptures? Where is Yeshua? At the right hand of Yahweh. How do you know that? Because it's written in the scriptures. Okay, it's written in the scriptures. Praise Yahweh. Now, did Yeshua text anyone and said, you know, well, I'm in the kingdom of heaven. It's fun. It's great. Miss Earth, LOL. You know, no, he didn't. You know, did he send you a selfie with him and Yahweh? No, it's in the scriptures. Do we believe that? Yes. Praise Yahweh. Open up, praise Yahweh. Open up to Yochanan chapter 14. Yochanan chapter 14. If we believe that Yahshua, our high priest, is at the right hand of Yahweh, then we have to believe everything that's in the scriptures, right? Praise Yahweh. And this is what Yahshua said. He said, chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many offices. If this were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now pay close attention to this next part. He said that, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. So if we believe that he is at the right hand of Yahweh, he said he's going to come back for us, right? We have to believe that Yahshua is going to return to receive us so that we can have a part in this great eternal administration with him forever. But it's based on how we overcome and how we prepare ourselves for this administration. Okay, it's based on our individual efforts and then collectively how we work together to build this great house of Yahweh. If we continue reading here in verse 4, it says that, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, we're going to also talk about a couple of men here and how they fail to truly comprehend the teachings. Here we have Thomas in verse 5 who said, teacher, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Yahshua said, I represent the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me or comes to the Father except through me. And then remember in the next couple verses here, you see how Philip says, show us the Father. If you show us the Father, then, you know, that will be enough for us. So what's the problem here? The problem is that they're forgetting what they were taught. They were forgetting the teachings of Yahweh. And this is what we do. We forget the promise of Yahweh. But the scriptures proclaim to us that Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise. Okay, let's take, for instance, the lampstand that's right here before us every Sabbath day. Okay, where else is there a lampstand? In front of Yahweh. Remember what Pastor said to us? He said that lampstand is there so that whoever appears before Yahweh will remember the plan of Yahweh. Okay, so the promise isn't just for us. It's for all of creation that there's beings that's being created just like Yahweh who has care and concern for all life. So when they see that, you know, they rejoice knowing that one day there's going to be people that are going to eliminate all death, the misery, the destruction, everything. They're waiting for that. Praise Yahweh. And so when we see this lampstand, we should also be remembering what it represents. We shouldn't be talking or doing other things when the lampstand comes out, unless you have assigned duties. But we should be paying attention to remembering the plan of Yahweh, remembering the promise of Yahweh. That's for all of creation. It's for all of us. But we forget. Regardless of how many reminders Yahweh gives us, we tend to forget. Okay, we have to remember these things. We have to remember what we're taught. There was a king, Rehoboam. Okay, that was Solomon's son. And the scripture said that he did evil in the eyes of Yahweh by not setting his mind to do the will or to seek the will of Yahweh. Okay, he did evil by not setting his mind, setting his heart to seek the will of Yahweh. And this was Solomon's son. Okay, so what's the problem there? Okay, we have to be diligent and strict teachers to our children and make sure that they understand why we do the things that we do. Remembering the promise of Yahweh, the great plan of Yahweh. Let's take a look at Solomon right now. Let's take a look at Solomon in all of his glory, the things that he accumulated in his lifetime. And then I want to make a point because there's a very important lesson. There's a lot of lessons, but there's one specific message or lesson that I want you to pay attention to today. In 1 Kings chapter 4, which is on page 277, let's take a look at verse 22. And this is what it took to provide for Solomon's household every day. Every single day. In verse 22, it says, Solomon's provisions for one day was 30 cores, probably about 185 bushels of fine flour, 60 cores, probably about 375 bushels of meal. Now, I might be wrong on my numbers, but I tried to calculate this into pounds. And the 185 bushels of flour came up to approximately 12 to 13,000 pounds of flour. It's a lot of work in the cafeteria. 375 bushels of meal came out to 25 to 26,000 pounds, even more work. And then it says here in verse 23, 10 stall-raised cattle, 20 pasture-raised cattle, 100 sheep, as well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl. Okay, every single day. That was provisions every day. Now, Solomon, the scriptures show that Solomon was a king. He was a ruler of kings. So he had other kings that was under him. It said that he ruled from, from the Euphrates River over to the land of the Philistines, clear up to the borders of Egypt. They all had dealings with Solomon. He was over them. And there was another king of Tyre, Hiram. And Hiram, they had trade agreements where Hiram would bring him gold, cedar, all of these precious things. And Solomon at one point gave him 20 cities of Galilee to rule. So Solomon had accumulated a lot of things. Look over to 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. Let's look at verse 28 here. And it talks about Hiram. Let's look at verse 27. Hiram sent his men with the fleet sailors who knew the sea to work with the men of Solomon. They went to Ophir and acquired for 420 talents, about 16 tons of gold, which they brought to Solomon. Okay, now last week, I don't know what it is today, but last week, the price of gold was $1,310 an ounce. Okay, that's what it was last week. Now, I don't know how much value it was in the days of Solomon. Some estimate about $22 million is what he was making yearly. But here, if you take that price of gold and this 16 ton, it equals today, it would be $670 million, $670,720,000. Okay, just that 16 ton. But look at chapter 10, verse 10. Okay, and this is when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. And she was amazed at the wisdom of Solomon and everything that he had set up under the inspiration of the laws of Yahweh, under the inspiration of Yahweh, using Yahweh's laws. Verse 10, it says, then she gave the king 120 talents, about 4.5 tons of gold, great quantities of spice and precious stones. Never again were there so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. Okay? And so using that same price, she just gave Solomon 4.5 tons of gold, right? That equals $18,864. Okay? Here's $18 million, Solomon. Just $18 million, just gave it to him. But that's according to today's value. Now look at verse 14. The weight of gold that Solomon received yearly was 666 talents of gold. Okay, that's about 25 tons. Not including that from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the land. So this 666 or 25 tons of gold isn't including all of the other gold that he had coming in. This is just something that he received yearly. And that's $1,048,000,000 a year. $1,048 a year at the price of gold as of last week. Okay, so what would you do with $1,048,000,000 a year? You'd be bored out of your mind if you don't have the joy of Yahweh. Okay, you will be bored. You would be miserable because you'd have everything at your disposal. You'd be miserable. The people who have money are miserable now. Okay? But Solomon had more. Let's continue reading about Solomon. It says here, well, let's, for the sake of time, I'll just go ahead and tell you some of the things. Solomon had all of his goblets made out of gold. You know why? Because the scripture says that he made silver so available in Jerusalem that it was as common as the stones on the street. Everyone had silver. So he said, you know what? I want my things out of gold. So he had all of these gold goblets. He had these steps that led up to his throne. They were made of almug wood, which is a very precious wood. And on each, he had six steps. And on each end of the steps were lions, not real lions, okay? But they were lions. And it didn't say if they were made out of gold. So I don't want to say they were made out of gold, but he had two lions on each step that led up to his throne. And so when people walked in, they saw all of these decorative things, these lions that led up to his throne. His throne was ivory overlaid with gold. And then he had two lions on each side of his throne as well. So he had all of these things set before anyone who came to see him. You know, did that keep Solomon righteous? His wealth? It didn't. His wealth did not keep him righteous. Okay, so what keeps us righteous? What keeps us in unity with Yahweh? It's the laws of Yahweh, the teachings of Yahweh. So anyone that thinks that money will get you the kingdom of Yahweh, Solomon is a great example of how money is not salvation. Okay, money is not salvation. Pastor said, without the priest, you wouldn't even have a house of Yahweh. Okay, we need these teachings from the house of Yahweh in order to get into the kingdom. No, Yeshua says Solomon in all of his glory will not be arrayed like one of these. And he was just speaking about life itself, the creation of Yahweh. Okay, so money is nothing. Now, we need it to take care of the things that we need to take care of. But we have to store our treasures up in heaven. We have to become teachers of righteousness. This is why we were called. Praise Yahweh. This is why we were called. You know, from the praise Yahweh. From the very beginning of the great plan of Yahweh, it's always been about the teachings. You know, the priesthood was established to teach the message of Yahweh, to teach people how to live their lives so that those who saw the lampstand and recognized the plan of Yahweh would know that this is a great plan to have people made just like Yahweh. Now, in the days of the children of Israel, you know, the scriptures show that they were stiff-necked and rebellious. And remember what they had to eat every day so that they would be humbled? No one remembers. Well, they should have had honey and butter. Praise Yahweh. But they had manna. Manna. They were supposed to eat the manna every day. You know, were they supposed to store the manna up? No. Just get what you needed daily. But remember, they had manna in a golden pot. Remember that? The manna was in a golden pot to represent. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But they stored the manna in a golden pot. But they were commanded not to store the manna. But they were humble to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. And so those who tried to store it in disobedience, what occurred? The manna bore worms and it stank, right? It did. They weren't supposed to store it, but some tried to store it, thus showing their disobedience to Yahweh. Okay. Now, Yeshua says what? I am the true what? I'm the true manna, the true bread from heaven. And what he's giving us is the information that we need so that we can qualify for life. And we're supposed to be storing up this information, right? We're supposed to be eating and storing up this manna, right? Well, how can we unless we're the golden pot? Right? Are we not being like gold? Are we not being refined as pure gold so that we can store this true food from heaven? The children of Israel weren't prepared for that. It's part of the plan of Yahweh to become trained and prepared to be able to hold in these teachings. Or else what? We'll accumulate the blessings from the word of Yahweh, and then what, we'll turn from Yahweh later after we make $1 billion a year? No, we have to be ready to receive the great blessings from Father Yahweh. Okay, if we're not ready, we're not going to receive them. Okay, we have to become trained in this way. Let me read to you some of the definitions in the word pot. It means to cause one to make his appearance faultless, to stand, be kept intact for a family or a kingdom, to cause one to preserve a right state of mind, to uphold or sustain the authority or force of anything. Okay, is that talking about something that you just cook with? No, it's talking about the state in which we need to be. Let's look over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's on page 888. First, take a look at verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for those who love him. Okay? We can't even imagine the great blessings that Yahweh has in store for us. But if we were to look at what Solomon had, and I'm going to say what little Solomon had, because it pales in comparison to what Yahweh truly has in store, which is us being in control or being responsible for making sure that there's life. Okay? Abundant living where there's no death, no sorrow, no misery. Remember, Yahweh's going to wipe away all tears. Okay, there's not going to be any death at all. Now, I don't know how long that's going to take, but we have a great work ahead of us to make sure that the teachings of Yahweh goes forth. Because if there's no death, that means that everyone will eventually be keeping the laws of Yahweh. Okay, everyone's going to have to be keeping the laws of Yahweh, or else we will be continuing to die. Praise Yahweh. So again, we're ushering in everlasting righteousness. That's what we're doing here at Yahweh's house. Look at verse chapter 3. Let's start at verse 9. Verse 9, because again, it starts with the teachings that were established from the very beginning. And I want to remind you again about the first priesthood. Remember, the Levitical priesthood, the scriptures show that they were commissioned with teaching the laws of Yahweh and offering up sacrifices. And in the book of Hebrews, it said they offered sacrifices daily, you know, and it didn't remove sins. Okay, so you could bring your sacrifice, But then you went out and sinned again. Okay, so what's the difference? The difference is through the teachings, there has to be conversion, true repentance, and then conversion. Okay, through the teachings, that removes sin, not bringing an animal. Okay, the death of an animal does not take away the sin. The actual choice that you make, choosing righteousness, is what removes the sin. So this is the foundation. Okay, remember, the second priesthood, as it's shown in Hebrews, is better than the first. Remember, the end with Yahweh is better than the beginning. But all of it is to show us the plan of Yahweh, what we need to do, how you can't just be given something. Okay, you can't just be given something and then not truly understand the value of it because you won't appreciate it. Okay, if you had $1 billion right now, and you didn't work for it, you wouldn't appreciate it. Okay, if you were given the kingdom right now and you didn't have to work for it, we wouldn't appreciate it. Okay, you just blow it. And this is one of the things that we have to learn. Verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. For we are the laborers together of Yahweh. You are the tillage of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. According to the mercy Yahweh has given me as a wise chief architect, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let every man be careful how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has already been laid, Yahshua Messiah. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he built, what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will sustain a loss, though he will be saved, as it were, saved in order to be burned. Do you not understand that you are the house of Yahweh and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If anyone defiles the house of Yahweh, Yahweh will allow him to be destroyed, for the house of Yahweh is holy, which you are. So as we're building this great foundation, as we're building ourselves up, building this house of Yahweh, okay, I'm talking about us as individuals being the house of Yahweh. If we build ourselves up in Yahweh, as we go through the tests and trials of everyday life, Yahweh will know if we truly believe what we're reading, if we truly believe in him and the teachings that comes forth from the house of Yahweh, because we're going to be tested. Okay, the fire is going to test us, and we're going to show Father Yahweh. We are going to show Father Yahweh that we want to part, that we want a part in his kingdom. We want a part as an internal administration because we value life. Okay, we want to live. And so because we value life and we want to live, we're going to make the right choice. And having this knowledge and understanding will allow us to exercise wisdom, this great knowledge and wisdom in the word of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you all please stand, I'll turn over to the great Kohan Eliel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You know, the things that we're seeing in the news today, more and more, is nothing less than prophecy that Pastor Yisrael Hawkins has told us about many, many years in advance. And we see the things taking place in the firmament, just as Pastor said, with this confusion where one side of the United States we have severe drought and the other side we have severe flooding. And of course that water is supposed to be dispersed across the land so that everyone could benefit from it, but it's not being done that way due to the confusion that's in the environment. And also we have up, of course, the Vatican calling for war, calling for an act of aggression against a group in Iraq known as ISIS, of course, calling for, and notice what they say and the comments they make about how there's thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people that are being persecuted, they're being murdered. So pay attention to that and look closely. And also look at the young child who was blessed by the Pope and catch her reaction. This time, if we could play the news. At this time, I would like to introduce Yahweh's only teacher of peace, the great Kohan, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Shalom, everyone.
We got a big crowd. Wow. Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Hey, Yahweh. You may be seated. I love you too. May Yahweh bless each and every one of you. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This has started out with a wonderful day full of problems that we rejoiced through as we're solving them. When I first got here this morning, got my bread, we came out of Egypt like in time of Moshe, but our world is much more evil, like in Noah's day. So all you children, incline your ears to hear these great words of wisdom that came forth from our great overseer. Michael, that's yours. Praise Yahweh. You saw how the Pope is crawfishing again. that's the way he does, but he gave the order, and that's the thing that counted. The Sabbath day began early with a miracle this morning, 7 o'clock. If you weren't here at 7, you missed this, but it was a little after 7 when I got the first call and said there's a double rainbow in the sky. How many saw that? Oh, a bunch of you. Oh, praise Yahweh. Anyway, I called Deacon Sophania Rutosky Hawkins, and he said, well, hurry and let me off of the phone. I kept telling him, hurry and let me off of the phone so I can get a picture. This was really something, because he called me back later and he said, he couldn't believe it, but he did, because he could see it. But the start of the rainbow was over the studio where the messages are made and where they go out. And then the other end of the rainbow came to the sanctuary over this way. We could see it over here. He could see it from his house, but he got a better picture because he could see both places. But that's not all. He said the end of this rainbow that was setting over the is a four-colored rainbow, by the way, the same color as the sash that I told you about last week. Four-color, not seven as a normal rainbow. Remember, I told you about it 2 weeks ago. I saw this. I was at the homestead at that time and looked east, and I saw this. It was a straight line that came at a slant, but it was straight. It wasn't a bow. And it only went up so high and then stopped, just sharply stopped, cut out. And then I didn't see anything else, but I called Sophania, and he ran out and took pictures. Now, that one, it had the same beautiful color, straight line. When I first saw it, they're just straight and beautiful. This one this morning, when I saw it, it was the same when I first saw it. Now, it might have faded or blended or something since after I saw it. But anyway, he said there was a huge drop of water. It looked like a drop of water, like you'd see a drop of water, like from a faucet. But he said it was huge. It was like big as a house. And it wasn't clear. It was gold. And it was setting right over the top of that studio at the end of the rainbow. He's going to show you all this come feast, but I'm going to tell you. He said he looked up the number of the picture that he took in Strong's Concordance, and the number of the picture means pure. Pure. Praise Yahweh. Pure as fine gold. Beautiful. You're a beautiful sight to Yahweh right now. The news article, you really need to get this article and read it because of the actor Robin Williams' death and the suffering he went through because of the... false prophets, as the scripture calls them, saying war's okay, saying teaching your children, teaching sodomy in the schools is okay, that's fine. And there's supreme teachers, supreme courts, and supreme judges saying, oh yeah, marijuana's okay. Drugs are okay. Yeah, they bring in a lot of money. Yes, let's keep those drugs. This is billions of dollar business. They're okay. That's the false prophets. But none of them had guts enough to stand up and warn the man or teach the man when he was a child. No one had guts enough to tell him, this stuff is going to bring you trouble. Marijuana will start you on the track to the other drugs, because soon it'll lose its power, so you'll want to go to higher drugs than that, stronger drugs and stronger drugs, till it will kill you. Dying, you will die. They're gutless. They know scriptures. Yes, they're fully acquainted with the scriptures, but they haven't got guts enough to stand up and tell the people you're sinning. And they're going to be held guilty. But anyway, get the article and read it. There's been, it's coming up pretty fast. It was 56,774 early this morning. 2 hours later, it was at 58,444. 58,444. So it's climbing about 1,000 an hour. The news media is grabbing it to run it in their papers. By the way, Oklahoma, so glad to see that. Oklahoma is fully covered with the channels ABC and NBC, CBS, all of them in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, Oklahoma, the two biggest cities in Oklahoma. So it pretty much covered that state. Plus, prophecies today, we're seeing them fulfill one by one. The droughts that we see, the wars that we see. New York gets a record-breaking 13, almost 14 inches of rain in about a 24-hour period. A record-breaking rain storm like the ones this week. Climate scientists say are something people should get used to as they continue to warm the planet. Now, if they had guts enough to tell the people, but they're gutless like the preachers, they're so afraid they're going to lose their jobs. Yes, a top scientist let out some news this week, and they fired him. Man is a 26-year veteran in a great university, a big university. He found dinosaur bones, get this now, found dinosaur bones with tall, soft tissue. Now, what that means is they weren't but about 4,000 years old. And they fired him. Yes. 26-year veteran teacher, and they fired him. Heavy downpours have already, well, that's the way our scientists are. You know, they know that STDs is screwing up the universe. They know that they're raping the bacteria that causes rain or the bacteria that adjusts the rainfall. Now, they know this. They know that it adjusts the rainfall, whether it comes down in bucketfuls or mountain loads or whether it falls gently to raise the crops. They know this, but they haven't got guts enough to tell the people because they know they're going to get fired if they do. You know why? Because Israel Hawkins is saying you gutless sinners need to repent. And they don't want anyone to back us up. It would be better if they repented themselves and joined the house of Yahweh, because death is coming to all of them. And they're being held guilty because they put themselves in a position of scriptural leadership. Yes. And Yahweh said, if you'd stand in my position and you'd tell my people the laws, then you would turn them from the evil. Remember that word evil? Be like the gods. You'll be like the gods. You'll be evil like the gods. That's what Satan said to Eve. She's still saying it. Be evil like the gods. Well, it's the evil that's causing the rain to come down in buckets instead of sprinkles. And they know this. But they won't back up the scriptures. They don't want anything to back up the scripture. Like the dinosaurs. Oh, those were killed millions of years ago. Billions of years ago. No, the earth didn't exist billions of years ago. Or millions of years ago. Hunt. Dig deep in your Bible and you'll see when the earth was created. Yes, it's actually there. One of these days I'm going to show the whole world this and they'll have such a great surprise. Oh, it's beautiful. The scriptures are beautiful. And you should believe them, you know. With that word, look over to Yochanan 1. Yochanan 1, the Christians read this, but they just read over it. They're afraid to say anything about it, like everything else. They're afraid to open their mouth about any truth. Yochanan 1, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were done according to it, and without it nothing was done that was done. In this plan was life. In the plan was life, eternal life. And that life was the light of mankind. Now, that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness followed the evil of the gods. They preferred it to the righteousness that brings life. Look on over to verse 12. But as many as received him, to those he gave authority to become the sons of Yahweh. So those who believe the testimonies. What is the testimonies of Yahweh? The inspired words of the prophets that's written in the book of Yahweh. That's the testimonies of Yahweh. Do you see that? Believe. Not just believe, but believe what the prophet said. As Yahshua said, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. It'll prove you're a fool. Who are begotten, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of Yahweh. Now, how did Yahweh beget you? What a puzzle, huh? It is to the Christians. I just can't figure that one out. Well, the Holy Spirit. No, that's another God. Let's see. It had to be Yahweh. Had to be the God or the God. The real God, not the false gods, but the real God. Well, no, it had to be the God. Well, how do we explain this here? Well, one of these gods came down and got Mary pregnant. Yeah, committed adultery with her. Oh, what a mess. Big a mess as the Vatican is today. The graphic, heavy downpours. The graphics here show the observed increase in rain falling in very heavy events from 1958 to 2012. Now, this is the record. The most dramatic increase, 71% in the Northeast, according to the latest U.S. National Climate Assessment report released in May. 71% from 58, from 2012 to 2013. Those models, however, predict that not everyone will see increased rainfall. Some areas, such as the drought-parched southwest U.S., may get drier, while the wet regions will get dumped on. Well, that's what we've got our firmament doing. Our firmament is so screwed up by the STDs that we have created and sent into the atmosphere due to the leadership of the popes, the Vatican. Vatican approval of Arachstrax, a rare exception to peace policy. The Vatican approval of Arachstrax. Arachstrax was bombs. Fearing a genocide, this is their excuse now. Fearing a genocide of Christians, the Vatican has given his approval to U.S. military airstrikes in Iraq, a rare exception to the policy of peaceful conflict resolution. Military action might be necessary, he said. Necessary, his spokesman said, warning from church leaders in Iraq that the persecution is becoming a genocide, with urgent help needed to protect Christians and Yazidis in the north of the country, where tens of thousands, he said, have been forced to flee for their lives. We got a short clip here I want to play again right now at this time. That's the emergency. That's the emergency that he brought out, that all these were going to get killed. So we really need to get to bombing these people, get to killing these people, because we got a genocide on our hands. He says, Pope Francis, another one handed to me this morning, Pope Francis calls for urgent military action to stop the systematic violence against minorities in Iraq. Pope Francis has backed international military intervention. Who is the leader of the kings of the earth? Washington Post, military action may be justified in Iraq. Never war. Now, this was his words just a month ago. This was August 15th, not quite a month ago, August 15th, 2014, never war, you get that? Never war, this is the Pope Francis, never war. But sometimes, according to Roman Catholic doctrine, thinking about the children and other innocent victims, yeah, that was the innocent victims, no, they didn't even want to go down. Those that wanted to go down had already left to go down on their own. And there wasn't tens of thousands of them. There was only a few thousand. And they were perfectly satisfied on their own. But sometimes, let's see. Here it is. But sometimes, according to Roman Catholic doctrine, thinking about children and other innocent victims. What has he done about the innocent victims that the popes and the Catholics, the Catholic priests, are sodomizing? What's he done about those innocent victims? The man is speaking with a forked tongue. I hate to be so harsh about the popes, but these popes are evil like the gods. And the sooner you realize what you're worshiping here, the sooner you can turn to the truth. The truth is Yahweh's laws that forbid the actions. Read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. U.S. tracts, Archbishop, Vatican envoy to the United Nations, said last weekend that the U.S. airstrikes that have showed the ISIS advance may be necessary. Oh, they changed their mind. Is very much in keeping with the just war tradition. Oh, they got a tradition that follows the no war, no war, no war. No war one day. But that's going to be brought about by Yahweh's house. But it's also going to be brought sin never again. And that will stop the wars. I would that the preachers would have told Robin Williams not to do these things. I would that the preachers had told his family, you know, don't let this boy get caught up in that marijuana, because it will lead to stronger drugs, and the marijuana will wreck his brain. Now, this is what the whole United States was teaching at one time, and especially so in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Muskogee, Oklahoma. We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. Remember that song? You know why that they didn't smoke marijuana? The preachers that came to my residence and asked Dad, could we build a brush arbor here and start holding services here in this corner of your pasture, which was next to the road? And Dad said, yes, of course. Helped them build it. In fact, if Dad built it, they got the credit for it. Built a brush arbor. Brush arbor's a few poles sticking up in the air and a few poles tied to the tops of them, making a circle, a few poles laying across the top, tied with baling wire, and then some brush thrown on top to keep the dew out, I guess. It's always held of a night, so it couldn't be the sun. So I guess it's to make it look like a building or feel like you're in a protected place. But anyway, the preachers, they had some guts at that time. They had some backbone, and I remember some hellfire brimstone talk that went on, and part of it was about marijuana. And they cracked down on marijuana and all drugs. They cracked down on not following the scriptures at that time. They had a lot of mistakes, of course, but they weren't the house of Yahweh, so they didn't know the full truth. But they were standing up for what righteousness they knew. I was born in 1934. Robin Williams was born 18 years later. And in that 18 years that I got training, that kept me away from marijuana and all drugs. And when your child is old, he will not depart from it. No, I don't touch them. I never have. The only marijuana that I ever smelled was in the police academy, where in my younger days I spent 10 years as a police officer, and they required us to smell it so they would know, so we would know what it smelled like. So if we stopped a car, we smell marijuana, then we would search the car for marijuana, arrest the person, take him to jail. That was back then, just a few years ago. Look how the world has changed, and look how the preachers have changed. No, they didn't. They won't tell anyone that today. They tell them it's okay. They tell the Supreme Court it's okay. If they weren't telling the Supreme Court it's okay, they wouldn't allow it to take place. It's the leaders of the religious leaders that is guiding the world, and the religious leaders are being led by Pope Francis right now, and the kings of the earth. He's telling them. Yes, strike Iran. We don't want Iran. They've tried to make an excuse for it, but you can see where that leads. Even the news media is up on it. Surely anyone can see this. Surely anyone can see the lies in this. As Jeremiah says, you're going to wake up one day and see that you've inherited nothing but lies. That's what's brought forth, like Halloween, like Christmas, nothing but lies. California sinking. Here's a result of what's taking place right now. You're actually witnessing the prophecy take place right here in front of you. It's like a big movie theater. And here's a man that spoke 5,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, pardon me, and telling you that this is going to be in your generation, the last generation, when the house of Yahweh would be established, the house of Yahweh would send out a warning to the all nations. Yes? And he says they won't repent until 4/5 of the earth's population is wiped out. They won't repent of the Pope's orders right here. There's 41 wars raging in the world. Is he only aware of one? Is that all the man knows about? I don't think he could be that stupid. I think he knows that these wars are taking place. I think he is behind these wars that are taking place. Yahweh shows that he is in Revelations, as we'll see here in just a moment. Well, here's the drought in California. As goes California, remember, so goes the world. That's been an old saying that I heard when I was a child. I don't know how long it was before that it was invented. California sinking 1 foot each year from groundwater depletion. Sinking, going down, dropping. Let me read you some more. This is Natural News. The drought-stricken state of California is sinking into itself at an alarming rate. Now, that should bring to your mind some prophecy right now. Are you up on this? Do you remember? Everybody's hearing me? You remember the prophecies that's going with this? Turn over to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. I remember what he said here, and remember, I brought this scripture out many, many times. And now we have a newspaper report that's actually using the same words. Now, this is the prophet Isaiah in a prophecy that was written in 712 BCE. And he's telling you what it's going to be and what's the cause of it. If you look at verse 20, he says, "The earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard and will sway." Now, we put the word sway there. The King James uses a different word. I can't remember the name of the word. Look on over to verse 4 and you'll see, here's the meaning, part of the meaning of the word. The earth mourns. The earth mourns. Well, we translated it sway, but it means mourning or go into mourning. The earth mourns, verse 4, and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. One of those, by the way, is the universe, and the other one is the actual earth. The universe. It's talking about the firmament and how it is sick. How the firmament is actually sick and mourning. The earth is actually sick and mourning and fading away, and the haughty people of the earth languish. That word that we translated sway, it comes from number 5110. It means the root word to nod. Now, that's like you're nodding and going to sleep. It's when I talk real loud. I jerk back that way. Or I beat to death. Now, this is the meaning. To waver, to wonder. You remember that word wonder? Have I got that covered here somewhere else? I probably don't. I probably didn't put it down, but I should have. Hold your place right there and go back to Genesis 4. 14. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. No, he's being seen by the face of the... He put on the face of the gods, the evil gods. So he won't wear the face of Yahweh anymore. That's Cain. I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond on the earth. For there shall be a continual war, vengeance and retaliation. Now let me read you the meaning of this once again. The word here used is disappear, wander, flee, disappear, bemoan or remove from the garden. Vagabond. 14, vagabond, fugitive, vagabond. Look back to Isaiah 24 and verse 4. The earth mourns, it fades away, see it disappears, fades away, that is, it's doing that. The world mourns and fades away, and the haughty people of the earth languish, fading away. Well, in verse 20 now, earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard and will sway or fade away, mourn, sway like a hut. You know how a sukkah, when you build a sukkah and you leave it left in the field, that was used in Eob, great prophet Eob. And it starts swaying in the middle. Well, that's exactly what you're seeing here. It's sinking. California is actually sinking like a hut. Same prophecies you see in Genesis 4:14. Mourning. And then you see the cause here in chapter 24 and verse 6. Because of this, because of the earth, verse 5, the earth also is defiled by the inhabitants of it. Defile now. Now, you don't defile the earth with burning wood or coal. That doesn't defile the earth. The scripture shows you what defiles the earth, what defiles human beings. And those same things that defile the human beings, and more scientists now are saying this, and I'm glad, but they're saying also these same things we're seeing in the sea life and in the atmosphere, floating in the atmosphere that we're actually breathing. So the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it because they've transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Because of this, this curse, sinking like a hut, sinking one foot a year. And they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned or will be burned, and few men left. Now, the transgression of the law, that's in 1 John 3, verse 4, 7, 8, and 10. And then I want you to go to Revelations to really bring this chapter home here, Revelations 18, because Yahweh tells us here, he shows you first that the Vatican in chapter 17 here that sits on seven hills, you can't deny that. No one can deny that the Vatican is the one that sits on seven hills, the seven hills of Rome. Anyone can look that up in a encyclopedia or dictionary. I have a copy that I carry in the front of my book of Yahweh that shows you the layout here of the seven hills of Rome where the Vatican rules. And we just saw where the Vatican, the Pope, gives the orders for the people to bomb Iraq and says war is okay. War's okay. First day he said, never war. No, never war. Let's find a peaceful solution. That was all for show. To build up the people, build himself up in the people's mind, making out like that he's really going to find a peaceful solution. Well, that peaceful solution that he found is the bombs. And he gives the go-ahead for it. says, yes, it's justified. It's justified here. So here, Yahweh says now in chapter 17, verse 18, the woman whom you saw, this abomination of desolation that brings forth the abominations, the filthiness, that is the defilements of the earth, the filthiness of her fornications, that is the God worship, worshiping gods, following the evil of the gods, Genesis 3, 5. Every place you see the word evil used, that should remind you of Genesis 3, 5. That's what the world is following today, just like Cain, just like Eve turned and worshiped the gods. You should write it down. When you see that word, you should make a note beside of it, like the gods, Genesis 3, 5. Well, this city now that sits on seven hills, verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. Wisdom. Remember, they're teachers, Daniel said. They'll be wise and they will shine like the stars of heaven. So he who has this wisdom, do you get that? He who has the wisdom that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 12. He who has this can understand this city sits on seven hills. Where does the Pope's home come from? The seven hills of Rome. Who gave the orders to strike Iraq this last time? The same one that's always gave the order. Talking about genocide, they had crusades that lasted thousands of years, wiping out Yahweh's people. I think it's verse 24 in chapter 18 of Revelations that says, there they found on those same seven hills of Rome the blood of the saints, the blood of the prophets. Revelations, I think it's 18:24, isn't it? Blood of the prophets and the saints. If you remember, that's where the apostle Shaul was murdered in Rome under arrest. And if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will see many other disciples murdered there. You can't deny it. Well, this woman that you see there of God worshipers, verse 3, he carried me away in the spirit to the God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim, like the evil gods. They weren't like Yahweh. Yahweh said, be in my likeness, perfect, perfect, be perfect like I am perfect. Yahshua said, be perfect like he is perfect. The Psalm said, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, making wise the simple. Now here you see this wisdom. If you have wisdom, you'll know this. You'll understand it in these last days. And Daniel says you'll be teachers of it. And you will be able to teach this, and you'll be able to teach why the world is going downhill. Yes. No, it's not from burning coal. It is not from burning fossil fuel that they said died millions of years ago. No, that's a lie now. The man lost his job, but he brought us that bit of truth before he lost his job. Bring you that article. I think I'm going to put it in a newsletter anyway. Show you how they hate the truth. You know, the man was assaulted by his own employers in the hallway because he brought this truth. and then they went to trying to make excuse why they was soft tissue, why they actually found this soft tissue. Well, 4,000 years ago, that's quite a difference in millions of years ago. The shrinking of the ocean into itself, creating empty pockets of earth that are causing the ground to literally drop in some places by as much as 1 foot per year. Increasing water demand combined with minimal rainfall, increasing water demand combined with minimal rainfall and recharge throughout the areas have created conditions in which underground aquifers are running completely dry. Now, this is the mess we got ourselves into. Yes. Not because that we didn't get a rain here and there. It's all coming in the wrong places. Did you notice? Places we don't even need it. New York City just runs back in the ocean. It's not watering the crops. They're the ones that got almost 14 inches of rain. There's no crops around New York City. Where the rain was needed was in the West. And everything is running dry. And they shut the water off from the farmer. Now that's going to get them in a bigger mess because the crops are not being raised. Efforts to mitigate the problem in some areas are having a positive effect, admits the report, but groundwater levels continue to decline to record low levels in some areas of the valley, and therefore the magnitude and rates of land subsidence documented by the study can be expected to continue. Expected to continue. Without water, in California, millions will suffer, and food shortage will become a new norm. Food shortage will become a new norm. Your great supermarkets. Now let's keep that in mind there, and let's go back here to Matthew 24. Another prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of your eyes here. It's taking place. And the scientists are now waking up to say, hey, there's something wrong here, and if we don't get it corrected somewhere or another. Well, this river over here has plenty of water. Let's take it. Well, that river now is dry. I was just told where our missionary crew was yesterday. I was told that they stood there on the banks of the Rio Grande River. That means great river, mighty river. Well, it's not mighty anymore. It's like the grizzly bear that Malachi Martin said turned out to be a pansy. It's not great anymore. And they saw a man, they watched this, got it on film. They saw a man dressed like Saddam Hussein or some other terrorist that's well known. They saw him walk across the river. Took pictures of him. Never was consulted. He came from Mexico, clear across the river, and disappeared. What was he carrying? Well, probably a nuclear bomb. Who knows? He came across the river and disappeared. Now that's the vulnerability of the United States right now, as today, the day I speak, bringing this message. We saw others too and took pictures coming across the river. It's going on all the time. And we're going to spend billions of more dollars to watch them walk across the river. And the river is drying up. Why? Not because they built a dam. No, it's a lack of water in the right places. The firmament is what you have ruined. The bacteria that do their job in the heavens for you. You have really caused a death sentence to these bacteria. By your sins. Revelations, as we'll go back there in just a minute, Revelation shows it's sin that this religion that sits on seven hills has brought to the world. The West is well known for its morals. It's led by Rome. Rome is well known for its morals. The rapes of little children. The bodies that they're finding in sewer lines and septic systems and so forth. where they toss them after they get through with them. Without water in California, millions will suffer, and food shortages will become the new norm. Food shortages. In Matthew 24, Matitya 24, the Savior spoke of this end time. In verse 3 shows it's the end. Verse 33 and 34 shows it's the last generation. We're in the last generation. Right now, we're in the last generation. You want to go out and play around for a few years? Well, of course, you'll die in your sins, and you'll never have a chance to ever enter the great kingdom that we have the opportunity for right now. You know, mankind was offered this in the beginning. And then he was offered it again when they brought Abraham's children out of Egypt, brought them back to the land of promise, where they would get eternal life. Well, they thought they were going to get filthy rich. They're looking for the land that flowed with milk and honey. That didn't mean health and joy to them. It meant pockets full of money. That's why they translated it all wrong. Milk and honey don't stand for such a thing. But Yahweh said they ate and they drank and they rose up to play. And that's exactly what the world is doing today. They've set their mind on play, entertainment, and instead of studying and overcoming for the kingdom. And see, mankind was put here on earth for that purpose, to study and overcome for the kingdom. That's the reason he was put here. And if he's given time, a certain time to live and to study for the kingdom, everybody could have that opportunity that chose it, that believed Yahweh's testimonies, as I just read you, in Yochanan 1, verse 12, that would believe Yahweh's testimonies and follow those, they had that opportunity. The others ate and drank and rose up to play. That means they forsook the purpose for which they are set here on earth. The whole world. And they didn't just play lawfully. They played with things that cause sickness and disease to their body. They played with things that cause sickness and disease that they could spread to the animals. And now the scientists are so stupid, they're saying, oh, this is coming from the animals. Well, how did the animals get it? Did the animals rape the humans and get this stuff? No, it's vice versa, stupid. The animals are getting this from the evil of mankind taught by the seven hills of Rome that brings forth the abominations to the earth. If you believe the testimonies of Yahweh, you will believe that exact fact that is written there in Revelation 17 and 18. Well, now, he said, there's going to be food shortage. The Savior said the same thing for this generation. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be disease epidemics and famine. And they translated that earthquakes, which means anything unnatural that has to do with the weather pattern or the earth's pattern, the atmosphere, the firmament, anything unnatural, like tornadoes, hurricanes, and so forth. Yes, it's going to be not just a few, it's going to be an abundance, like 14 inches of rain. If 14 inches of rain dropped on this building in 24 hours, it would cave in. It almost washed a hospital away. That was on the news this week. The water gushed in the first floor, broke through the walls, knocked the walls down, came into the restaurant of the of the hospital. They said, we were lucky. We were up on the second floor. The mentality, you know, and the likeness of brain power, it just amazes me every time I hear the news or solutions to what is taking place. It's obvious, he says, that such a scenario cannot persist forever. What's taking place here, it won't persist forever. Either the rain will somehow come and restore what has been lost from the years of water overuse. This prospect doesn't look too promising. It doesn't look promising at all, he says. He says, this prospect doesn't look too promising. In the near future, we must start thinking about relocating. Relocating to where? Well, there's some water left in the Rio Grande, a little bit, enough to wade in. That river once flowed really big time. The Canadian River between Purcell and Lexington. I saw that river to where, you know, it was a mile wide and the water was gushing. You can't even find the river now. It's all grown up. The weeds and salt cedars. The earth is drying up. And they think, well, maybe it'll rain one of these days. Surely something will change. And maybe it won't. Maybe this is the time when it can't recover. When the atmosphere, when the firmament cannot recover from the damage that you have done to it. The water scarcity of the Colorado River Basin is an important concept. If you are one of the 40 million, imagine now, get this, 40 million people. 40 million people. If you're one of the 40 million people who rely on the Colorado River for drinking water, a group that includes residents of Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Tucson, San Diego, wrote Tom Philpott of the Mother Jones, or if you enjoy eating vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, and spinach during the winter through the many diversions, dams, channels, and reservoirs the river feeds as it sneaks its way from the Rockies to towards Mexico, the Colorado also provides the irrigation that makes the desert bloom in California, Imperial Valley, Arizona's Yuma County, the source of more than two-thirds of the U.S. winter vegetation production. More than two-thirds of your food crop there. And it's drying up. And the man says you can expect worse than this. Worse. And the scripture says the same thing. Verse 7. If you'll look, there will be famines, starvation. That's starvation. Disease epidemics. If you've watched the news here lately, you'll see that everybody on earth now is dying. Not only is everybody on earth dying, they're dying when you're born. The children have diseases when they're born. The people have diseases. Everyone has diseases. The gods of Hollywood have diseases. I would say that Robin Williams was born with one that weakened his mind. The preachers made his mind weaker. So that's the reason he gave in. And he tried to overcome when he saw the damage it was doing to his body. He got away from it for a little while, but then soon he gave in to it again. We had a man in the house that got the same thing. worked here for years. I still miss the man. The doctors got him hooked on it with prescription drugs. He kept wanting to get off of it, but he couldn't. And finally, he laid down on the floor on his back in front of his mother and told her he was not going to take these drugs anymore. And about 15 minutes later, he was dead. He had been off of them for a few hours, and the doctor told him, "Don't try to get off of them. It'll stop your heart." Now, they know that these drugs will do this to a person. We told the people this for 1,000 years. I remember this was very strong medicine in Oklahoma, and I wouldn't go near it. I wouldn't have got into it. If somebody had offered it to me, I'd have told them how stupid they were. But it kept me from it. Yahweh saw to it that it did. I don't use drugs today. I wouldn't use them at all. Praise Yahweh. But it's due to the teaching. Teach these laws to your children. When they rise up, when you go to bed, when you walk by the way, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. But you need to be doing it. Not going home and finding entertainment for yourself, but teaching the law to your children. You can start before the child is born. I've showed you this. Well, here, it's a striking. Historic 3 years of dry spell. This is the California, and we see here we've read that one, or have we? No. We need to go to Revelation 6. Matithya says, the Savior says in verse 7, that there is going to be starvation. Now, it's going to be the worst. If you look at verse 21, it's the worst ever. The greatest ever of starvation. You see that? Nothing like it in history. They're saying right now, this weather pattern is breaking all records. Now, if you'll go on over to Revelation 6, the same one that brought the abominations that makes desolate. Abominations. Abominations is spoken of in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy, 11th chapter of Leviticus. Abominations. You really need to acquaint yourselves with that and teach your children. Stay away from these abominations. They won't be allowed in the new world. And if you don't stand up for these laws to where we can assure Yahweh that there will be sin never again, we won't be part of that great kingdom that's going to bring this about. We'll bring the rainfalls. We'll bring a stop to wars. We'll bring a stop to sickness and disease. It's all your opportunity. It's given to you now. You're the last. You're the last that will be first. Well, here now in Revelation 6, we see this all listed and taking place, what we're seeing right in front of our eyes now. The Pope issuing war, commanding the nations. Yes, commanding the nations. We need to go and create war. The Lamb, Yeshua, opens the seals for his house. He's high priest over his house, remember? High priest over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 10, about 12, verse 12, I think. He opens the seal for his house, opens one of the seals, and I heard as it was one of the four, that's the quartet, one of the four, saying, as with a loud voice, like thunder, come and see. And I looked and behold this white horse. White horse stands for righteousness. But this man is a fake. He's one of the false religions. But notice, he stands for righteousness, saying no war never, right? That's what I just read to you a while ago. Never war. That's what he said. But notice he's carrying a bow in his hand. And he's going forth conquering and to conquer. This scripture showed what he was going to say before I ever read you the news article. And the news article just came out yesterday. Prophecy being fulfilled right in front of your eyes. Going forth conquering and to conquer. Force by rule. Rule by force. That's what you're seeing. That's what's always come forth from the Roman Catholic Church. The great army that stood on the part of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, Herodians, moved to Rome and took over the world. And when he had opened, verse 3, the second seal, when Yahshua opened the second seal, this is what you can see. And I heard the second creature say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse, which was red, and power was granted to him. How? In an order from the Pope. Do you see that? The one that rides on the white horse, that has the crown on his head, and rides the white horse, showing deception, gives the command. Power was granted to him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great source of power, source of weapons. You saw that today. The great Deegan brought that out loud and clear, the cost of what we're having to put out in taxes to pay for the cost of war. And verse 5, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third creature say, 'Come and see.' And there went forth the black horse. And he who sat upon it had a pair of scales. I heard the voice in the midst of the four living saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny.'" This is when we had plenty. And notice, "Hurt not the oil now." Hurt not the oil. And they keep assuring that this is not going to bother the flow of oil. We're going to see to it that it doesn't bother the flow of oil. These are prophecies showing the last days and the warning that goes with it. "And when he had opened the fourth seal," this is the next prophecy, "I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, the pale horse, and the name of him that sat upon it was death." Now here's where the dying starts. We're seeing it now. We're seeing the building take place and getting ready for war. As Deacon Tovia brought out, everybody, all the nations, getting ready for this war. Over a fourth part of the earth to kill with war and with starvation, notice. Starvation? Well, maybe the rains will come, they say, and straighten this out. Another scientist said it would take 11 years of straight rain to ever get the rivers back where they belong and the aquifers back. And that might be taken longer than that, he said. He says, in other words, it's impossible. Is that what you're saying? He said, pretty much so. "And with pestilence," that's your disease epidemics. If you think everyone is not sick, you need to start looking at these news articles. We bring out a bunch of them in the prophetic word and also the newsletter, but I don't cover half of them. And I doubt if I cover 1% of them. The sicknesses, one in every four has this. One in every three has this. But they all have sickness and disease, and the sicknesses and the diseases are multiplied. Pestilence, that's disease epidemics, the same is under the authority of verse 2, the one that has the bow in his hand, authority to bring war, the authority to give the other, the quartet, authority. He has the authority to give the quartet authority. Chapter 12 shows you where that authority comes from. Chapter 12, that's where Satan gives him his seat and great authority. Satan herself gives him her seat and great authority. If you think about that now, that is the Satan in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, along with the gods, be like the gods, knowing evil. Wear a crown, ride a white horse, deceive the people, that's what it's saying. She was a deceiver from the beginning. Yeshua said she was a murderer from the beginning, meaning she led Cain to committing murder. Cain committed murder, but she was charged with it. She's the one that led him to do it. Same way you preachers are out there. Everyone listening to my voice as a preacher, you have set yourself up as a preacher, and Yahweh holds you responsible. You need to read Yeremia 23 and also Yekiska 18, I do believe. But Yahweh said, if you had stood in my counsel and taught my people my laws, you would have turned them from the evil of the gods. Genesis 3:5. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.